Welcome to Brandman Speaks. I'm Cindy Odell, a member of the Brandman University Communications team. What do you think of when you think of ethics in education? If you're imagining toga-clad ancient Greeks discussing philosophy, you might want to think again. For Dr. Jalyn Johnson, an assistant professor of organizational leadership and business at the university, ethics are as much a part of everyday life as breathing and eating. Recently, she spoke to a young professionals group. Here's what she wanted them to know about ethics.
That was a really fun presentation because as I was talking, I could see light bulbs going off in the room, which was exciting. There were a few different areas that I wanted them to take away from, and they really centered around awareness. The first was being aware of the ethical standpoint or moral standpoint, if you will, of the people around you. Their coworkers and colleagues, managers, supervisors, you know, understanding what is the mission, the purpose of the organization that I work for, and then looking at how it aligns with their own personal, you know, ethical or moral core, if you will. And one of the things that I found in talking to that group, and I saw those light bulbs that I mentioned going off, was that some people hadn't thought about that yet. They didn't know, what is my own ethical value? Where are my judgments coming from? And so one of the takeaways that came from that was getting them to look at this concept of ethical reasoning. So we have two viewpoints. There's the psychological and the philosophical. How are our moral judgments created? And then also, what are the things that lead to our own justification of our moral judgments? And so when we got to that point in the presentation, I think that people really stopped to think about their own viewpoint. The other thing was getting a chance to share my own theoretical framework, the ECP theoretical framework. And that is looking at experience, context, and perspective. Framework, the ECP theoretical framework, allows us to look at how our own or the experiences of others help to shape and influence the context with which we approach any situation. So how is it that when I go into the boardroom or I'm meeting with my project team and the context with which I approach the ethical or moral dilemma that we're facing, how that's influenced by my own life experiences? And then in turn, that context with which I am now facing the situation before me, how it shapes my perspective, you know, that decision that then comes from my mouth, the words that I say, the things that I present, that perspective influenced by the context, shaped by my life experiences and how that cyclical process takes place. And so that was a really cornerstone, if you will, of the presentation that I gave. And I think it all just circled back to that level of awareness and understanding of their own ethical and moral standards.
What made Johnson interested in ethics? She says it started at an early age and from a source shared by many while growing up.
I spent a lot of time as a child thinking about ethics and, you know, seeing as an adult now with my own research that I do focused on leadership, on the work of Albert Bandura looking at self-efficacy, how it ties into behavioral studies. And I learned in my own reflection that my experiences in my youth with this love of comic books that I had and this balance between supervillains and superheroes really led into my study of ethics now and my own research. And what I found was that, you know, whether it be in a DC comic hero or Marvel Image comics, which you see now, they do The Walking Dead and, you know, a few of those others that we see, is that there was always this time frame between the first pages of the book towards the end where there was a ethical or moral dilemma that was presented. And then we saw the hero or villain have to face it. And then there was a resolution at the end. Now, in the comics, there may have been a cliffhanger, but there was always a resolution, especially in the animated versions on TV. And so I found that I was always looking at the process with which people reached that final ethical judgment. What was it that was in play? What were they thinking about? And so what ended up happening was that as I, you know, was able to grow and study and increase my own awareness, I was led to the works of Sigmund Freud.
Johnson also found Freud's approach with the id, ego, and superego tied back to her early interest in superheroes.
I would look at a character like Bruce Wayne and see how he was so affected by wondering as an adult what his parents who were deceased, as we know, for the reasons that we saw in his anthology, what would they think? How would that affect the decisions that he's making now as an adult, as a hero, as a superhero? And so all of these things were interrelated for me. And so when I found, you know, the psychoanalytic theory and the works of Freud, I began to have labels and words for some of those ideas that I was looking at. And it all tied back into this love and understanding of what is ethics and ethical decision making.
I wanted to know how the history of ethics relates to what she teaches now.
You know, Aristotle's work influenced others like Avicenna in the Persian Empire. You look to the works of Confucius, you know, 500 BC, and how that led into Confucianism and then Taoism and legalism and, you know, things that we look at in the Ming Dynasty. And so what I realized was that as a student of ethics, I had to also remember those things that I learned when being an instructor for ethics, looking at it globally, looking at it holistically, looking at it historically, you know, even into the works of Descartes or into the works of Depo from Senegal, and seeing how different perspectives from around the world shape the views that we have now. And so when we're in the classroom, you know, it's important for us, just as much as we're asking our students to be aware, for us to be able to show that as instructors, we're also aware of different viewpoints. And I think it all plays into this understanding of what ethics means to each of us individually.
That global perspective also ties into how Brandman approaches educating working adults.
It's interesting because we talk a lot as curriculum developers and designers about Bloom's taxonomy and this idea that there is an evolution, if you will. And this comes from the work of Dr. Benjamin Bloom in the early 1950s, where there is this this framework for how learning objectives are met. And it starts with knowledge at the base, and it takes students through steps that get them to the point where they not only comprehend the work and the knowledge that's being presented, but they're able to then apply it. You know, we talk a lot about what our students learn in the classroom on Monday being important for them to be able to apply that Tuesday morning at work. But then it goes even further. It takes them into how can they analyze what they learn through application and then synthesize that, evaluate that, and then bring it back to the classroom to be able to discuss with their peers and instructors. And so through models like what we see with Bloom's taxonomy, we're seeing how different learning objectives, if you will, are being addressed throughout the course of a program, whether it be an individual class, one night to another, or the duration of the 8 weeks, and even through the degree program itself. And so we're always looking to take our students through that evolution. You know, I even see how ethics plays a role in that, where students are able to take a look at that knowledge that they've gained and the comprehension that they've gained from it and from acquiring that knowledge, and to be able to say, you know, the decisions that I made yesterday weren't as well informed as they are today. And then they take these new standpoints and they're able to utilize the evaluation analysis of that knowledge that they gained and then reach a different plateau for new ethical decisions that they made along the way.
Johnson and others are redesigning and updating the undergraduate course in ethics at the university.
It's interesting because we're always talking about continuous improvement. It's always about continuous improvement. And so, you know, we have guidelines across degree programs and in the different colleges. So in addition to the School of Business, you'll find that across the board within Brandman University, that we're looking at not only institutional-based learning objectives, but we're looking at it at the course level. And so one of the outcomes that we're hoping to achieve in redesigning these courses is to make sure that they're current. You know, things have changed. If you look back 10 years ago, for example, and you look in the workplace, one of the primary privacy issues may have been about email, for example. Okay, today, it's social media. We can't live in the past anymore. We have to be able to talk to our students about what that means when an employer is trying to make a decision on whether or not they're going to monitor, for example, your social media frequency, whether during the interview process they're going to consider what's on your Facebook page. I mean, these are decisions and discussions that are happening in the workplace. And so regardless of what our own personal opinions may be, it's important for us to be able to let our students know that this is a discussion that's taking place. These are ethical decisions that are being discussed. trust in the workplace by employers. And so that's just one of the many concepts that are important for us to be able to discuss in the classroom setting that are current and that are prevalent. But I think that holistically, one of the things that we're trying to do in both the undergraduate redesign and in the graduate level redesign, which is part of our MPA program, Master's in Public Administration, is to make sure that our students are aware of the changes that are taking place right now in the workplace.
Ethics, morals, values. Those are topics that come up often during an election year. One of the things that affects our decision-making and can even turn some people away from the political process is the flood of information. I wondered if there was a way to get past that.
And it's very interesting when you talk about getting past it. One of the questions that I have to ask myself is, can they? Is there a way to? You know, we had, not even 80 years ago now, we had Franklin Delano Roosevelt as our president, and FDR, we know, contracted polio in his late 30s. And there was lots of discussion about how the press corps and FDR had this gentleman's agreement to not talk about it. Now, interestingly enough, I read a Time magazine article not even a year ago that said that may have been a farce, that maybe the Secret Service kept some of those things from being published, but there was an ongoing effort to control what was being said. You fast forward now, that doesn't happen. There's no filter. There is a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week news cycle. And so in just two generations, we've reached the point now where a person can open up their phone. They can simply turn on their screen and there's a news alert. There is some sort of access to 24-hour media at all times. And because of that, we see things that we didn't see before. There are politicians who don't need that filter in their own minds. They have determined that it's not necessary to have one. And because of that, we see things and learn things about them that we may not have known only a generation ago. And so being able to walk away from that seems harder, easier said than done, if you will. And whether they be youth or even people who are more seasoned, I think that we're probably in a very similar mode where, you know, there are times we want our politicians and our political figures to hold a higher standard, especially if they're running for an office to represent us in any form or fashion. But from an ethical and moral standpoint, a lot of times we want to be able to see ourselves. And that goes back to that awareness. If we haven't determined what's important to us, what our own moral compass is, then how can we expect that from someone who we're voting for, someone who we're electing to be in a position to lead or to represent us as citizens? And so as far as being aware of those things, if you will, that would probably be one of the most important things to keep in mind, because we are the determining factor as voters, as citizens, and so we have to be able to determine what it is that's important to us before we step out and make that decision on who we're voting for.
Which brings us back to superheroes and what they have in common with people running for office.
We draw lessons from them, and we have to remember that they're flawed. I mean, these are all human beings, much like the heroes or villains, depending on the label, you know, that I speak to. They each have their own battle that takes place. Now, it's the perspective that we hear, the words that they use at the end of the day, that really makes us understand who they are as individuals. So regardless of what each of these women and men who are running for political office have gone through, we have to understand two things. One, like we just mentioned, that they can be flawed. But the other is that they made a choice to do this. And so once you've made a choice to put yourself in that role, to achieve that position, you are saying that you have determined your own ethical standard. It's a choice that has to be made.
Why study and think about ethics?
You know, it's just enjoyable to be able to discuss it. You know, I think that when we talk about ethics, it's definitely one of those things that's a cornerstone of humanity. You know, we face ethical dilemmas every day. It's how we move forward and the steps that we take that are really the true measure of each of us. So hopefully people will take something from this and begin to look back at themselves and determine how their own ethical standards are being met every day. But experience, context, and perspective. The theoretical framework is in place in everything that we do.
For more information about Brandman University's degree programs and courses in ethics and leadership, go to www.brandman.edu. Brandman Speaks is a production of the Communications Department at Brandman University, part of the Chapman University system. For more podcasts, videos, and stories about the faculty, students, and alumni of the university, go to brandmannews.org.